the original conditions of operational hours, when they can move traffic in and out during the interim while they're seeking other property.
Do you want to amend your motion?
I'll amend it to include that.
Okay.
So they can continue to operate while they're.
So everyone's clear on the motion to revoke the permit and have them operate with the hours, is that what?
Yes, within the original conditions.
Yeah. Okay. And then we're gonna revisit in 6 months to get progress. Okay, all in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No, I guess I'll be for it. I'm still really confused on how we can revoke it and let them continue a business. Does that impact their business license in any manner?
Well, we don't have a business license. The Secretary of State, they have a business registered with the Secretary of State, so they can continue.
Okay.
They just know that over the course of the next 6 months or year, they need to look to eventually move out, and we'll be patient.
Not a condition for the Secretary of State.
That's not a condition. No.
Then I won't go for that.
Yes, that's right. This will not put them out of business.
Okay.
Yeah, they just have time.
So you understand that? Okay.
Okay. Motion carries.
Okay, motion carries.
Okay, okay.
So now we'll move on to the second item on the agenda. We'll get back to that.
Which is the zone change?
Oh, here we go. There we go. Found it. Oral County Comprehensive Plan AC-145-23, Comprehensive Plan Map, ACM-14623, Morrow County Zoning Map AZM-147-23, applicant Rowan Percheron, LLC. And again, we'll ask for any abstentions or conflict of interest. Okay, the staff report.
Okay, thank you. For the record, Tamara Mabbitt, the planning director. And we have a lot of material to go through. My job, I think, tonight is to summarize as best I can. While Stephen's pulling up some maps.
Just stop just for a second. You're welcome to stay or to leave.
Okay.
You don't have any obligation to stay for the rest of the hearing if you want to. So.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. Gracias. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's really nice. Sometimes we catch that, but thank you for doing that. So what I thought I would do tonight is just introduce the application very briefly, make sure that the materials you have are the same materials we have, and then the applicant will, with their legal counsel, will do a little bit more in-depth overview. And then I had written a memo, and didn't get included in your packet. I probably didn't give it to Michaela, so she wouldn't have included it. And what my memo said, which was also related to you in the email with supplemental information, is that given some comments we've received, particularly from Department of Land Conservation and Development, we've mutually agreed that continuing the hearing to July is a good idea. That means that don't feel rushed tonight to make a final decision. And there are, look at this as iterations. So my findings was the first iteration. You'll hear from their legal counsel a second iteration and probably a third iteration at the meeting in July. So while Stephen is pulling up the maps, I think what I will do is on your desk when you walked in was this extra packet. And this is a list of materials that were submitted that need to be entered into the record. Anything? Yes.
Yes. Exhibit F was not in there. So is there a reason why it's not?
It's not in here?
I couldn't find it. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, it's okay. Actually, it's this big thick thing.
Oh, it is the big thing.
It is the big thing. Yep.
Oh, sorry, that was my bad because I labeled everything.
I know. Well, and that they brought that in tonight. So, yep.
I just wanted to be clear before you entered it into the record.
Yeah, thank you. And Michaela and I, Michaela's really worked diligently. Between now and your next hearing, we're going to clean this up, and then everything will be part of the record. I'll probably go through and make a table of contents so everything is really clear. So in addition to the packet that you received and has been posted on our website, you have, as part of this, and we sent it to Dan, I think, what we're calling Exhibit A1, which was my memo to you, again, just with an outline of the application. On June 16th, what we've labeled as Exhibit A is a letter from the Department of Land Conservation and Development. Actually, it's an email from them. And in that email, they outline concerns they have about, just various concerns, about how the application complies or does not comply with the applicable criteria. Exhibit B from the Three Mile Canyon, C from City of Boardman, those are both letters of support. Exhibit D is a letter from Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. Exhibit E is a letter of support from Greater Eastern Oregon Development Corporation. Exhibit F is this bigger packet that you have. And that includes a letter from Council Elaine Albrecht and supplemental findings. Exhibit G is what is known as Figure 5, a conceptual example layout of the development. Exhibit 8, H is Figure 6, and that's another layout. Sorry, that looks like a site plan. Alternative sites. Exhibit I, what is I? We have it labeled here as Morrow County Amendments. Planning Commission member Killian sent me a few questions via email and asked, just how common is this to rezone farm ground? It's not very common. And so what I took the liberty of doing is, rather than looking through all records, I got this list of plan amendments that have occurred in Morrow County since our plan was acknowledged. So our plan was acknowledged in 1987. And you can see it's only happened a couple of times. And then Commissioner Killian also thought that this page...
where was that page?
Is that I?
Yeah.
Exhibit I. Thank you. I know, I'm not the only one with bad writing. That's Exhibit I.
Okay.
And then Exhibit
J.
Exhibit J. It is Exhibit J. These are just two pages from the state's 2020-2021 Farm Forest Report, and they're usually lagging a couple of years because it takes them a year or two to collect the data. So every year, every county has to report on permitting and development that happens in farm and forest land. Yeah. And this is actually a pretty good overview to look at across the state over the years, almost 50 years since everybody was acknowledged, how many acres have been zoned to something other, taken out of farm ground. Mm-hmm. And then Appendix 2 of that same page is forest changes that were something other than to urban. So it isn't very common, but it does happen. And then the last piece there is the census of agriculture and acres farmed in each county. So then moving on to your exhibit list is Exhibit K, a letter of intent. Oh, Exhibit K is a letter of intent from the Port of Morrow that reads, and it looks blue if you're looking for it, and that's a letter that says the Port of Morrow agrees to supply and sell up to 22 million gallons of water to Rowan annually for the purpose of operating data facility located on this property. Water will be used for drinking, cleaning, flushing, cooling, potable drinking, and any other purpose required to operate the data facility. Water will be available on a year-round basis for a length of time to be determined by Rowan and Portamoro. And then just at the very end of today is Exhibit L, which is an email from Devin Kessner from 1000 Friends of Oregon, who raises concerns about soils, water, Goal 14, and Goal 11. And then finally, I won't address the detailed comments, but Elaine Albrecht will when she comes up. So it would be good if we could have a motion to accept exhibits A through L into the record.
I have a motion.
I'll motion scenery A through L into the
record. Second. Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So rather than speaking a long time, I'm going to try to take 40-some pages of findings and summarize them. So again, we have the luxury of not being rushed to a decision tonight. And we do have several new but very studious and dedicated Planning Commission members. It's important to remember for a legislative action, a legislative action like a quasi-judicial decision also has to show how the application complies with the standards. It's not a popularity contest. Everybody may think it's great, but if it doesn't meet the standards, it doesn't meet the standards. Also, your decision is a recommendation to the Board of Commissioners, and that hearing has been scheduled for August 16th. August 16th. And so by agreeing up front and your decision at the end of the evening will be to continue it if that's the way you choose. It leaves the record open, and everybody still has an opportunity to provide testimony or clarify the record between now and your July Planning Commission meeting. So the way the original findings that were mailed out, We do early. We have to, by law, have them available for public to review 7 days prior to the hearing. Because mail is slow and because people are busy, we usually get those out 10 days prior. That's always our goal. And so those were emailed to you by Michaela and also posted on our website on that Friday. And the findings started out originally as 40-some pages. In those findings, we have to address all the local and state applicable criteria. So for the very first part, we lay out the proposal and summarize the proposal. And I don't want to duplicate what I think their council is going to do, so I'm just going to give you the framework for what the findings are. And again, the findings are the written document for which you make a final decision. And we'll see another iteration before the end of July. So in that report, I laid out how we think they meet the County Zoning Ordinance Section 8.04, which are 8.040, which are legislative decisions. And there are two significant findings that we have to adopt. One is to identify if local conditions have changed. And two is to identify public services and make a determination whether or not they're sufficient to support the change. And that includes looking at stormwater, water supply, police, fire, emergency response, and transportation facilities. And then the second part I think it's item four in your packet, is to address the goals 3, 11, and 14 exceptions. So in this instance where they're proposing to rezone 274 acres from exclusive farm use to general industrial with an overlay zone, and I can talk about that for a minute. They also have to address statewide directly. They have to take an exception to Planning Goal 3, 11, and 14. So anytime you take farm ground out of production, you have to take an exception to statewide Planning Goal 3, and there's criteria for doing that. And in this instance, where they also are proposing to take water from a municipal source, they also have to take an exception to statewide Planning Goal 11. And the lawyers can explain why, but generally, even though Goal 11 doesn't explicitly say that, the courts have said you really do need to take an exception, not just for sewer, but water, when that water service will serve an urban use. And goal 14 is the urbanization goal of the statewide planning program. So everything is considered rural unless you're at a really big density. And any, by any measure, a data center is an urban use. It's a large structure outside of an urban area. So a big bulk of the application looks at how they comply and can take and justify an exception to goals 3, 11, and 14. And as part of that exception requirement, there's something that's called an EC analysis. ESEE stands for Environmental, Social, Economic, and Energy Analysis. I would say it's more of an art than it is a science how you address an EC analysis, and I think their council will explain how they've done that here. And it also requires that you make a finding that it's compatible with adjacent uses. Part of the application includes what's called a limited use overlay zone. So they have the option to rezone the property from EFU to general industrial. If you look at our general industrial zone, there's 25 or 30 things that could be done in an industrial zone. And rather than making findings as to how all of those uses in an industrial zone would be compatible, they limited it to a single use. And so that's why it's the limited use overlay. So that's also why it's three parts. So as the chair said, it's a plan amendment, it's a zone amendment, and a zoning map amendment. And it also means that if this is approved, your recommendation to the board and the board agrees that only a data center would be allowed here. So if it's not a data center development, it would revert back to farm use. So, and I'm getting close to the ending of my part. So also part of the findings that you'll review is to see how this application is consistent with the Morrill County Comprehensive Plan goals and policies. And I just highlight a couple. So goal 3, so we have statewide planning goals, and we address those goals in our own local comprehensive plan. Goal 3 is the protection of farm ground. And that's a pretty important piece that you'll hear some arguments, I think, both in favor and in opposed, or raising some concerns with how that will be the case, that this new industrial use would be compatible with farm ground. And I think they rely pretty heavily on their ability to coordinate with area farms and the experience with some other industrial uses in that area, namely the natural gas plant and the old coal fire plant. Goals 5 and 6. Goal 5 is protection of natural resources, and it is within the Lower Umatilla Basin groundwater management area. That's a goal 6 issue. Sorry, and goal 5 is a critical groundwater area, and your packet contains information that shows it is not in the critical groundwater area. But they do avoid using groundwater. They're proposing to use water from the Port of Morrow. Goal 9 is economic development, and they make the case that there's economic development, economic value, and also it will enhance job diversification. Goal 11, they're taking an exception to goal 11, and then goal 12 gets to be kind of tricky. So goal 12 is transportation, the transportation planning rule, and they've addressed that. They submitted, I didn't include the whole thing. This is their original application packet, and about a third of that is their transportation study. I did not include the whole thing in your packet. I'm happy to send the whole thing out. Their traffic engineer and the traffic impact analysis concluded that Tower Road is sufficient to handle any additional traffic out there. And the traffic engineer said to put in a, develop a new road and put up a stop sign. So in consultation with our public works director, he said probably will be a lot more impact. So we've been working, Eric Imes and I, with the applicant to come to terms with a road use agreement that was submitted today based on a template we've used in the past. And we hope to have a refined product prior to the July meeting for you to consider. And that's an imperfect way to say, yes, there will be some impacts to the road, but we can mitigate those impacts with a road use agreement. So the remaining part of the findings that you will consider is to show how it complies both with the statewide planning programs and our Morrow County goals. And I think that's all. I wanted to run through, I kind of jumped to my report without giving an overview, and that's because I think Elaine is going to do that better than I can do that. So, but I wanted to set the framework for what you have to make your decision and how we'll move forward from here. So any questions about that? Dan Kearns, any advice? Dan Kearns is our legal counsel. I probably put him to sleep.
No.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I think you've summarized it pretty well.
Okay, thank you. It was probably a B. Okay, that's it then. So.
Okay. We ask for questions from the commission?
Yes, if you have questions or comments or anything, happy to come.
Just on the application.
Yeah.
We've submitted, I have a million questions,
right.
But I
You don't know when to ask them.
I mean, yeah, when do I start asking?
So, yeah, I think that's right.
Should I listen to them?
I think that's a great idea,
okay.
Because they're going to talk in more detail about the project. I just sort of set the framework for your decision. Yeah, and if they don't answer them, please ask them for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So at this point?
Yeah, you can invite the applicant.
So we'll invite the applicant or the proponent to come forward and present testimony and evidence.
And Stephen has the PowerPoint. Excellent. Thank you, Stephen. We will provide you a copy of the PowerPoint later, so you have. Did you bring a paper copy of that too?
I think I have an extra one.
Okay, it's okay. We can send it out or make a paper copy. So, all the good details I think are in that.
Do we limit them to 3 minutes?
Good evening. For the record, my name is Elaine Albridge. I'm outside counsel for the applicant, Rowan, First Round Data Center. My address is in the notice list, 1300 Southwest 5th, Suite 2400, Portland, Oregon, 97201. We are excited to be here tonight. We understand that there's a lot of information before you, and so we thank you, Tamara, for teeing up the process for tonight and then continuance for a second hearing. So, we are hoping tonight to discuss the project with you, start answering your questions. We're anticipating needing to provide additional information to you in response to your questions. So that kind of frames why we're here tonight. But let me go ahead and the next slide, if I can.
Do you want to introduce your...
Introduce our team.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So with us tonight in the room is Bobby Hollis, who's Rowan's chief operating officer.
Commercial officer.
And we've got Martin Romo, who's the Senior Director of Economic Development and Policy. And on the phone, we've got David, are you still there? David Shiflett, who's our Director of Development.
I am still here.
Great. And then also in the room with the project team is Nathaniel Brown with Hubble Communications and Olivier Jamon with Davis Wright. With my law firm. And then I think on the phone we also have Tess McMorris, who is with ERM. ERM is our environmental consultant, who is the project manager for all of our studies and helped put together our application. And this is just an outline of what we hope to discuss with you tonight. And as we go, happy to answer questions along the way. And with that, I'll turn it over to Bobby to talk a little bit about Rowan.
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you all for the opportunity. Again, I'm Bobby Hollis, and I'm the Chief Commercial Officer of Rowan. I've been here just short of a year. The company has been around since about 2020, so We all kind of remember 2020, not necessarily as fondly as some other years, but 2020 was an important year because it really did for us launch the company and really launch the importance of what we were doing, which is to look at digital infrastructure and to look at how you can do it in a smart way, a sustainable way, and find ways of communicating when we all experience what we experienced in the last few years. How you develop technology and develop data centers, which we all rely on for things like this Zoom conference that we're all sitting here in today, and do it in a way that actually uses the resources, uses everything the way that it should be used in the best and smartest way possible, because we know we're going to need the technology, but we also know that we need to be very smart about the resources. So Rowan was founded with that mentality and that real thinking that we can do this in a smarter and more sustainable way, and that's really how we lean into the entire effort that we're doing with the data centers, and hopefully that's reflected in the application that we submitted to you as well. We look at that with respect to water, with respect to energy. Those are all resources that we know we have to be smart about and make sure that we're using them in the best way that we can for the community, and that we're also partnering with the communities and understanding what those needs look like in those particular locations that we're at. So when we look here in Boardman, we're looking at the opportunity to site this particular location in a way that actually will serve everybody throughout Oregon, turn this place into the technology hub that it actually is already becoming. Oregon is very much a leading epicenter of the technology infrastructure for the entire world, not just for the U.S. And so we think that this is an important part of what we're doing. And Rowan, this was one of our first projects. We actually have a couple of projects in Oregon because we feel so strongly that the state is a great place to be doing a lot of what we're doing. It's got the infrastructure, it's got the capability, network is so important, it connects to the rest of the world. And so Rowan is very much focused on finding great opportunities and great locations, and this is one of those, and that's why we're here tonight, and we hope that that's reflected in the application we put forward.
Next slide, please. You can go to Stephen.
Yeah, so a big part of what...
back.
Too fast.
Sorry. Yeah, so close.
A big part of what we're doing is very much focused on being engaged with the community. And the community, as we all know, is represented by a bunch of different stakeholders. So we've got educational institutions, we've got tribal members, just really reaching out to the folks that are very much integrated and key to all of the communities that we're operating in. So we've tried to do the same thing here. When we look at this site, the site that we call Percheron, we've been very focused on making sure that we've done outreach to the folks that we think would be most impacted and want to understand exactly what we intend to do. So that's what we've always tried to do, and tried to do it early and often. So what you see here is a list of folks that we tried to do outreach with and do the individual consultation to say, are there questions that we can actually help you understand? Helps to understand the philosophy of what we're trying to do and how we're trying to do it differently than some of the other companies that they may have interacted with in the past.
Great. Next slide.
Yeah, next slide, please. Tamara talked through the applicant's request and summarized it well. The slide just reiterates that we're asking for a zone change and comprehensive plan amendment for 274 acres. In requesting exceptions to 3, 11, and 14 goals. Next slide, please. This slide shows you the project parcel. It's located off Tower Road. It's about a half a mile from the Cardi Reservoir and power generation site. So you'll see that in the figure right there. Those red arrows reflect the location of the project parcel. It's currently owned by Three Mile Canyon Farms. There is no history of agricultural cultivation dating back to the 1950s. You have evidence of that in the application. It's in Appendix F. It has historical photos dating back to the 50s to show that this land has not been productive over time. It has not been irrigated, and as it reflects in the soil report that we have in the application, predominantly comprised of poor soil quality. Of interest, particularly for Rowan, is it's adjacent to existing transmission right-of-way and also existing and planned transmission infrastructure located at the Cardi site. And near the Cardi site, that's the grasslands switch station and the planned grassland annex substation. The project footprint is micro-sited within the project parcel, to avoid environmental impacts. This is something that we use the environmental surveys to inform in proposing this project parcel for a permanent footprint. It's 100.